This week on Vaticano, delve into the remarkable life of Pope Benedict XVI in this special episode, exploring his journey from esteemed theologian to influential pontiff and his unprecedented resignation. Through exclusive interviews, archival footage, and personal reflections from those who knew him best, witness the final days of his papacy and the enduring legacy he leaves behind. Vaticano starts now. Francis entered the audience hall in Rome for the weekly general audience shortly after the Christmas holidays on December the 28th, 2022. He carried a message that startled more than just the faithful worldwide. The pontiff addressed a prayer request to the world.
I ask you all for a special prayer for Pope Emeritus Benedict. Remember him. He is very ill. And ask the Lord to comfort and support him in this witness of love for the Church until the end.
E lo sostenga in questa testimonianza di amore alla Chiesa fino alla fine.
A short time later, the Holy See issued a press release describing the health of the Pope Emeritus as worrying but stable for the moment. 2 days later, on December the 30th, a Holy Mass for Pope Benedict was even held in the Lateran Basilica. Cardinal Angelo De Donatis presided over the Eucharistic celebration, which was attended by numerous faithful, as well as old companions of Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI.
Wer sich da ein bisschen einliest,
if you read a little, you can only marvel at the depth of theology he communicated, but always in a language that is understandable and that does not hover above the clouds, but stays closer to the reality of life. The connection has remained, and I'm very grateful for the courage he had also to acknowledge his limitations. But what he gave to the people with his life and with his teaching, and above all with his preaching, that remains.
The very next morning, December the 31st, 2022, Benedict XVI took his last breath. The Vatican officially announced a little later.
Con dolore vi informiamo che il Papa Emerito Benedetto XVI è deceduto questa mattina alle ore 9:34 nel Monastero Mater Ecclesiae in Vaticano.
The news had quickly spread. Already TV stations from all over the world gathered in front of St. Peter's Square. A little more than 200,000 pilgrims from all over the world took the opportunity to personally bid farewell to him as he lay in state. The Requiem Mass with Pope Francis followed on January the 5th. After the Requiem Mass, the coffin was taken into St. Peter's Basilica and finally buried in the same site as the former tomb of Pope John Paul II.
It's a very emotional moment, and I love this funeral service of the Catholic Church because it combines a deep sense of sadness and real loss at the death of Pope Benedict. But it also contains absolutely firm and resolute expressions of faith that we know that there is life after death and that the promises of Christ are reliable, and therefore we celebrate this with sadness but with great firmness of faith and confidence in the future.
Many pilgrims may have still remembered the words of Benedict that Pope Francis mentioned the day before at the general audience.
In the words of our dear departed Benedict XVI, I want to remind you, he who believes is never alone. He who has God as Father has many brothers and sisters.
When Pope Benedict XVI died in Rome, the people of the Eternal City said that it was the second time he had made the city weep. The first time Rome wept because of the German Pope was almost 10 years earlier. On February the 28th, 2013, a snow-white helicopter left the Vatican territory with a man on board who had made history. The search for why he resigned leads us to Bavaria, where about 2 hours away from Munich lies the small town of Marktl am Inn. It was in this house that Joseph Ratzinger was born on April the 16th, 1927.
Marktl am Inn is only one of the many stations on this family's journey. There are some memories from how the very small Joseph celebrated Christmas here for the first and second time, how he stood in front of the Christmas tree with big eyes, how he also experienced the church here. He, the man of words, of books, learned to speak and to believe here, in the midst of a family that held together closely.
Ratzinger was baptized the same night that he was born. The current bishop of Ratzinger's home diocese, Bishop Stefan Oster, recalls another place that had a great influence on the future pope.
He said again and again, Altötting is my spiritual home. His most beautiful and earliest childhood experiences are in connection with Altötting. And he always said, and I think this is not insignificant for his spirituality, he learned the maternal dimension of the church through Altötting. And then, of course, he also processed and articulated that theologically.
According to Bavarians, Altötting is the most important place of pilgrimage in Germany. People have been making pilgrimages to the small town since 1489. And now a million pilgrims from all over the world come here every year. Just 1 year after his election as Pope, Benedict also returned here.
When Pope Benedict celebrated the Holy Mass on September 11, 2006, here in Altötting, he went to pay his respects to Our Lady. And to the surprise of all of us, he placed his bishop's ring at Our Lady's feet. This is the ring that his siblings Mary and George had made from an ancient gem. It shows a dove with an olive branch as a symbol of peace. He wore this ring from 1977 until he was elected Pope. Since then, Our Lady wears it in her scepter. So above Our Lady's hand is the ring of Pope Benedict.
In Marktl, we meet Peter Seewald. He came closer to the Pope than any other journalist and published several books of interviews with Cardinal Ratzinger and later also with Pope Benedict. Seewald's extensive biography of the German Pope was published in 2020.
Aber es war ein Rücktritt mit Ankündigung.
It was a resignation with an announcement. Already in 2010, during our interview for the book, Light of the World, I asked him if he had ever thought of resigning. And he said, not yet. At that time, there was also the VatiLeak story, with regards to other things, and he said that one should not run away. You can only leave when everything is more or less back in order. He also said that for John Paul II, his time of suffering was part of his charism. For himself, however, he did not see it that way, nor did he want to repeat it. In 2010, he stated quite clearly that if a pope is physically and mentally no longer able to carry out his office, then he not only has the right to resign, but also the duty to do so.
Has this decision damaged the papacy?
Difficult question. If before it was true that the Vicar of Christ is taken away only by Christ himself, by God himself, he cannot decide for himself. It is very important to accept that Pope Benedict was seriously ill, not only because of his heart condition, not only because of his left eye, which was blind, not only because of his constant headaches, He also had Parkinson's disease. He noticed that his memory was failing, and above all, what he then revealed to me a few weeks before his death, that he had suffered from insomnia since 2005, already after the World Youth Day in Cologne. All these rumors that there were other reasons for his resignation, for example, Vatti leaks, a conspiracy, or blackmail, and so on, all this is real rubbish and does not correspond to the truth. The truth is, he resigned for health reasons. He was rock-solidly convinced that he would die before the end of 2013 after his resignation.
The resignation was a relief for Benedict, says Zeewout, and he was careful about what he said about his successor, Pope Francis.
I always tried as a journalist to get something out of him, and he said, no. In any case, he did not want to give the impression that he was kind of a shadow pope, commenting on the conduct of his successor in office. So there was nothing to get out of him, although of course it was clear that things like the withdrawal of free access for the old Latin Mass affected him deeply. Nevertheless, he vowed obedience to his successor before he could even know him.
To this day, the Vatican has no official regulations providing guidance should there be another papal resignation, but that future pontiffs could also resign from their office is now no longer unthinkable, thanks to the Pope from this small Bavarian town whose decision revolutionized the papacy. In a few moments, we'll be back with more on the legacy of Pope Benedict XVI. Two years have passed since the death of Pope Benedict XVI. EWTN interviewed three of his closest companions, Archbishop Georg Ganswein, who served as his private secretary until the very end, Professor Rolf Weimann, who is dedicated to preserving and promoting Benedict's spiritual legacy through various initiatives, and Swiss Cardinal Kurt Koch, who shared his personal recollections of the unique qualities of Joseph Ratzinger.
I think of all, he was a very, very a man with a great humility and a profound faith and a very high intelligence. And these three characteristics in the same man is unique.
Also, the role of the priest was very important for Pope Benedict. Maybe you can explain a little bit more how he viewed priesthood and the role of the priest in the church.
I still remember this when he spoke about the priesthood, when one of these priests addressed him and asked him, like, we are facing so many difficulties today. What could you recommend? And he was very practical in these moments. So first of all, he spoke about the personal friendship with Jesus Christ, so that this is what characterizes a priest. He has to be a man of God. And then there are several means. And at the same time, he made reference to the saints. So he presented us concrete ways of how to realize how to live the priesthood. And I think this is very important because especially today in our time, people want to have great examples. Carlo Acutis, for example, is the upcoming canonization right now. But this is what we need. We need like positive examples. There's so many negative ones. We need positive ones. That's what the saints are. And Pope Benedict was always pointing towards them in order to understand our vocation. And I think this is very important that we do understand the greatness of what has given to us.
When we're speaking of saints,
yeah,
who were his favorite saints?
His name is Joseph, and I think this is the most important saint for him. And I have the impression he has lived as a Joseph, because Joseph is only in the background. Joseph is the bishop. And the bishop has not other thing than to protect the mystery that we have in the child. And in this sense, I think he has very lived as Joseph in the church.
Every 19th March, St. Joseph's Day, there was a small meeting or a small receive by the staff and himself. And every year, he, after the greetings to him from the secretary, was a very, very deep meditation about his patron, about St. Joseph. And there was no year the same. No. Every year there was another meditation. You could see that he prepared every year with other deep thoughts his meditation. And therefore, I think it's really what the Cardinal said. Cardinal said, actually, that he was for him like an example of his own life.
But he spoke very often about the saints, because he said, who is actually at the center of the church? And it's very interesting. You would imagine, like, perhaps the Pope, the Cardinals, the bishops, the priests. No, he said the saints. The saints at the center of the church, because since God is holy, they do participate in his holiness, and for that reason, they are at the center of the church. And for that reason, we too must look for holiness and strive for holiness. And I think this is very encouraging, especially also for our days.
What are the things that remain for you personally from the pontificate of Pope Benedict XVI? What will you take away from that also, maybe on a personal level?
So I think, first of all, he was a collaborator of truth, as he called himself. That was his coat of arms. And he was giving testimony of the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. So that's one very important aspect, and I think this aspect will remain. You find this everywhere in his writings, in his preachings, and so forth. And then there's perhaps a second dimension, being like a father of the church. Because he was like a father to everyone, just through his humility, his brilliance, and then also bringing all this together as a real father, but at the same time in his writings, and his writings will remain. So his writings, his books and so forth, they are a great treasure. And I think people in the future will discover this. So I think these two elements come together, and the great fathers of the church, they were usually all saints. So hopefully that, I think that Pope Benedict also was not just preaching about these topics, but he was living it. And so that made his testimony to be credible.
In the testament, in the spiritual testament, he that after a long life, as a priest, as a professor, and so on and so on, he said, faith is the fundament. You can build up of that faith, of that fundament, your death and your life and your death. And we know that his last word was like a point behind his whole life. Signore, ti amo. Lord, I love you. I think that is for him the last word he has said, but he has left for us as his biggest and importantest and deepest witness.
Lord, I love you. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for sharing also all those anecdotes and those insights into the life of Pope Benedict XVI on his second anniversary of his passing. Thank you very much for being with us today.
We'll be back shortly with an exclusive feature on an extraordinary portrait of Pope Benedict XVI's pontifical family.
The Pope Emeritus understood that it was important to portray this historical moment of his pontificate on canvas for history. He has chosen me, and it's a great responsibility for me.
For the last 4 years, Natalia Tsarkova has painted Benedict XVI in his mission as Pope Emeritus, surrounded by those closest to him, his pontifical family.
Monsignor Georg is his private secretary, and he symbolically writes down everything Pope Benedict says for history.
Four consecrated women are members of the Memores Domini Association. They dedicate themselves to the service of the Pope Emeritus, to accompany and support him in his mission.
Here in the foreground is Sister Carmela, looking lovingly and attentively at the Pope. And it's as if the Pope is lighting up her face, and she's sewing a button to his cassock. And there's a folk saying, if you want to make a wish, you must sew on a button. And then Sister Carmela makes a wish that the Pope will always be healthy. Actually, you have to ask her what she's wishing for. And behind her is the cook. She holds the menu. The menu is a small little piece of paper because the Pope doesn't eat much. Her name is Sister Loredana. There's Rosella in the back, and she's doing a little bit of everything. She does the living room, she does the laundry, and she does the cleaning. And the fourth one is Sister Christina. She tends and takes care of the church, the house chapel.
The chapel is painted on the upper part. This is the place where Pope Benedict prays and draws spiritual strength.
Sister Christina, she is carrying roses. Roses are also a symbol of Mary, the Virgin Mary, a symbol of love. And roses are Pope Benedict's favorite flowers.
Tsarkova tells us that Sister Christina also took care of Pope Benedict's brother, Georg Ratzinger. Pope Emeritus Benedict invited Natalia Tsarkova to work on the portrait while his brother Georg Ratzinger was still alive.
And I put them together as if here they were one. He leans in and listens to what Pope Benedict says, and you can see he's thinking about something beautiful. He's very inward focused too in his thoughts, and he's thinking about something that lights up his face from the inside.
Natalia Tsarkova is a painter from Russia. She moved from Moscow to Rome in 1994. Since then, she's become the official portrait artist of the popes. Despite differences in culture and belief, Tsarkova is Orthodox. She says that she doesn't feel any division between her and the subjects of her paintings. After many visits to the Pope Emeritus during the past 4 years, she started to see herself as part of the pontifical family as well.
In fact, this angel is painted after me. It's kind of symbolic. It's not me, it's an angel. But it's painted after me because that's how I feel in my heart. I'm there with them. And when I was painting this portrait, it was the hard times of COVID isolation that came, and I was alone with this painting, and it was good that there was this painting. I used to get up and say, "Good morning, Santo Padre," and when I went to bed, "Good night, Santo Padre."
Tsarkova uses light as an important theme in her paintings. She says that when Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI resigned, he didn't retreat into the shadows, but instead began his new mission, the mission of the Pope Emeritus.